You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He's speaking to us from Vancouver. Welcome back to the show, Bob.
Yeah, hi, Jim. Good to be with you. And as you know, our listening audience out there,
way around the world,
in the ether, and I can never figure out what it means, but hey, we recognize you wherever you are.
Yes, and come as you are.
Yeah.
Anyway, we like to kick off the show with questions from our listeners. Our question today comes from Michael. Bob, will King Dollar soar higher again as we move into a financially shaky 2026?
King Dollar, I like that one. I hadn't seen that one before. Yeah, let's call it a recipe. After a great financial bubble, of which we are in, the greatest in history, but then if you go back to 1929, then that one was the greatest in history. But the pattern has been fairly reliable, and what you get is that the senior currency can weaken a little as the boom culminates. And then once the crazy bubble is really over and heading south, then the senior currency can become, well, I use the term chronically firm. And the senior currency is chosen by market forces, not by the United Nations or anything like that. And the senior currency is the U.S. dollar. Before the 1920s, it was sterling pound, and London was the financial center. And now it's U.S. dollar and New York City. Now, the mechanism could be is that on the great financial bubble, there's a huge amount of debt issued, and all you need to do is have the majority of it due and payable with U.S. dollars into New York City. And that is what, in my mind, the satisfactory explanation of why we're going to have a king dollar. And it's going to drive policymakers mad because, you know, the whole feature of the Federal Reserve System is to depreciate its own currency. And you're going to go into a world where the Federal Reserve cannot depreciate the dollar. I mean, how embarrassing is that going to be? How frustrating for policymakers. But I'm looking forward to it. I think the dollar, it looks, the DX seems to be kind of building a little base here, a plateau, whatever you want to call it. And this could continue for a few months, but at some time, if and when we go into a financial storm, then the dollar would firm up. And again, I like your term, king dollar.
Also, for Michael, can the U.S. dollar and gold both go higher this year?
Oh, that is the hard one, because the whole of the gold bug and silver community, to throw them in as well, is the evils of the Federal Reserve. I agree. But their recipe is the dollar's going to continue to go down and gold is going to go up. Of course, the silver bugs, they get in there and some of them have a marvelous in figuring out in all of the silver positions in the world, and they got it all taped, and they know that every year there's more silver used than mined, and therefore every year it's going to go up. But they seem to overlook the financial side of silver. And when, like right now, we're looking, if silver gets whacked, it would signal the end of that particular huge speculation. But beyond that, and this is what the silver bugs never look at, is that the role that silver has to play in the financial markets. So right now, silver is it's been fabulous, getting overbought, and we're patiently watching for it to break. And historically, in a big financial party, when it breaks, it can signal the end of the party. So we're watching silver as an important financial instrument. And when the financials when it's working in as a financial instrument, all the supply and demand analysis is worth absolutely nothing. It will hurt you rather than guide you. So
silver could act like the canary in the coal mine. It could let you know when the markets are about to tip over.
Yeah.
Wow.
No, silver is, we use it, and decades, we got a question a while ago from Willem about our peak momentum forecaster, and we looked it up, and yeah, for quite a few years it worked, and then it stopped working, no explanation, so we no longer look at the peak momentum forecaster, but what we do, and what I'm doing now is just watching silver, and it will tell us a story.
And finally, from Michael, will a collapsing European Union facilitate a dollar rally?
Oh, yeah, you got that one. The European Union is doing itself a great deal of harm, and absolutely reckless immigration policies, and they don't have the gumption to say, hey, enough, and let's make each European country and to continue its heritage. And there are mighty forces out there, Jim.
We'll take a look at some of the headlines that caught Bob's eye right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Bob Hoy. The first headline here from Reason. Is this the end of American capitalism?
Yeah, I guess when you look at a nervous market and all of the forces of the left now, an ambitious thinker would think that, but it's not the end of capitalism. It's just mighty forces going on out there.
My question, Bob, is with all this money going into AI, how many people are going to win and how many people are going to lose, considering the billions that have been poured into it?
Oh, yeah. Actually, this is a subject that will be part of an article I'm working on, and that is the very high-tech darling stock of a great financial bubble, and we've got the Magnificent Seven here and others now, AI and things like that, and whereas way back in the 80s, you had the dot-com bubble, and that was, you just had to put that word on a stock and you were away. Then in the 1929 bubble, it was the Magnificent Radio Corporation of America, RCA, and that was the big darling high-tech, big-cap stock. And it got up to, in 1929, about $125. And then by the end of the worst part of 1932, it was down to something like a dollar and a half. But I like to mention changing perceptions. In 1929, investors were buying RCA, and they were looking for another year with $3 a share earnings. And it was based on that radio was new and wonderful, and everybody was buying radios and stuff like that. And then all of that crashed, and then everybody had a radio. So it took until something like 1956 to get back to where it was in 1929. And then the story with that was the Elvis Presley contract. And it was huge, made immense money for the company and also Presley. But in 1929, there's no way that anybody could say, could discount Elvis Presley. So, and then the previous 1873 bubble, the big high-tech stock was Western Union Telegraph and Telegram. And what's more, they not only had telegrams, and they had put in the ticker tape into offices in any reasonable city, or the ticker tape giving stock quotes. And so, hey, wonderful. And then even in the first great bubble in 1720, the promoters of different stocks in London said they had a new way of making sailcloth. They had a new way of this and that and the other thing. So anyways, new has always been the excitement in a great financial bubble.
From the Financial Post, Cubans scared and nervous after U.S. attack on Venezuela destroys morale.
Right. Well, I wouldn't think it's ordinary people in Cuba. Mm. I would guess that it's the governing classes in Cuba who've been living high on the hog, and they are now precarious. And I think many, many Cubans would welcome throwing off the dictatorship there.
And of course, Cuba's always seemed to have suffered from a lack of energy. They were getting their oil from Venezuela. The U.S. has put up a pretty effective blockade of Venezuelan tankers.
Oh, yeah. It's effective in bringing down these dictatorship countries. So, yeah. Yeah. What is it? Wasn't there a drink, a Cuban Libra?
Yes, that's rum and coke.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
And the Andrews rum Sisters, and, rum and Coca-Cola.
Yeah, that's a great song.
Yeah.
And now we have another headline here from Zero Hedge. Germany's chancellor warns of economic collapse and doubles down on central planning.
Yeah. The problem in a boom is that everybody gets busy, and indeed even government bureaucrats can get busy and build empires and stuff like that. And then when the boom's over, there's no money. And a contraction is a severe disciplinarian. So, yeah. Yeah. And of course, the chancellor in Germany, he really figures that central planning will prevent the bad things from happening.
Well, Germany's economy depends a lot on the car building industry. Perhaps they're saying is what's good for Volkswagen is good for the Deutschland just like they used to say, what's good for GM is good for America. Is that the case? I mean, auto sales are down everywhere because people are worried about the economy and their jobs.
Yeah, but they just sort of, like everything else, bought too much of everything in the mania.
And finally here, from Yahoo Finance, gold stocks in 2026, can the perfect storm rally continue?
I like that. The perfect storm, and it's been driving up prices, metal prices. Long term, and we work with gold's real price. The dollar price is the focus of most gold analysts. But you want to make sure that the gold miners are making money. So if we use the gold divided by the CRB commodity index and assume that the commodity index is a reasonable proxy for mining costs, and I think it works. So what you want to have for prosperity in the gold mining sector is you want to have their costs falling relative to whatever the bullion price is. So if you're a gold analyst and deal solely with the dollar price of gold, how the hell can you figure out whether the miners are making any money or not? I mean, let's say gold goes up, but let's say crude oil and mining costs go up faster, in which case the gold miners are not making money. Now, the whole reason for this exercise is that in a post-bubble contraction, the gold's real price goes up relative to mining costs, and the gold miners make money when the rest of industry and commerce is suffering a Great Depression. So, but with the gold stocks, of course, it depends on what, you know. In a post-bubble depression, ordinary stocks go up and down. And if you're in a very severe bear market for most stocks, the gold stocks are not going to do so well. But what happens is that when the stock market then is generally improving, then the gold stocks will really outshine. And that... Well, we've done the history on that. So what I like is we're going into very good times for the gold sector.
How come gold juniors haven't been exploding?
Well, actually, we did a list. Mm-hmm. I think it was December 2024. And I just got an update on that list, and most of them have been 200% and 300% gains.
Absolutely. Wow.
No, the juniors have done very well. At least this list we ended up. I think there was 11 in it, and it's done very well. And if people are interested, they can acquire it. We'd be very glad to send out our list of juniors.
Well, there you go. Ask Bob for his list at chartsandmarkets.com.
Mm-hmm.
Bob, always fun chatting with you.
Yeah, Jim, I'm glad we got together, and let's look forward to next week.
My guest has been market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. If you have any questions for Bob or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at House Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com Radio is a production of How Street Media Incorporated.